anti-Friday, but you know, it's the kind of thing it is. But you got to enjoy it, though, right? It's the the last of July. Happening.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. It's the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah, but you know, autumn is good. Good weather. Halloween.
Good weather.
Yes.
Next week, we'll talk about in a moment. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing to you today, well, the lady that's been living it up, but now has to go face the music again. That there's the Flintstress.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with G-rated movies as long as there's lots of sex and violence.
I don't think you're going to get that on your typical day at work.
No.
Hi there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
They call me Dr. Love.
Or at least I tell myself they do. What happened on this fine day, yo?
In 1914, the Transcontinental Telephone Service is inaugurated with a telephone conversation between Thomas A. Watson in San Francisco and, you know, Alexander Graham Bell in New York City, and they repeat their historic conversation from 1876.
Bell and Watson putting on their hits. 1955, James C. Haggerty, press secretary to President Dwight D. Eisenhower, announces the United States intends to launch small Earth-circling satellites between July 1st, 57, December 31st, 58. Many will mark this as the beginning of the space race that will eventually lead the U.S. to putting a person up on the moon.
Oh, they're like, let's see if we can just shoot something up in space and see if it sticks. See if it doesn't just float off into nowhere. In 1957, the International Atomic Energy Agency is established to promote peaceful uses for nuclear energy.
We'll get you
like
that,
power.
Man. We'll get you there. 1958, U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower signs the National Aeronautics and Space Act into law, creating NASA.
Happy birthday, NASA.
A civilian agency responsible for coordinating America's space exploration. Let's go to Mars.
Yes. MJ's ready. 1993, a federal court jury in San Francisco decides Atari Games infringed a Nintendo patent for the security system in the NES. Atari Games immediately announces that it will appeal the decision.
Oh, hell no. 1994, the Interactive Digital Software Association, which represents most leading video game publishers, presents a proposal for a new voluntary industry-wide video game rating system to Congress. That's the ESRB.
Well, it's better than somebody else, I guess, imposing that on them. Maybe that's the rationale. I don't know. 2005, astronomers Michael E. Brown, Chad Trujillo, and David Rabinowitz of the California Institute of Technology announced the discovery of Eris, a possible 10th planet of the solar system. Sorry, Pluto. Its diameter is 2,100 miles, or about half the size of Pluto. Its orbit is eccentric and inclined at about 45 degrees to the main plane of the solar system. So, yeah, I guess that didn't take.
What is that, like a demi-dwarf?
A demi-dwarf planet. Ouch.
Same day, same year, Sony Pictures releases Stealth, directed by Rob Cohen, starring Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, and Jamie Foxx. A plane's gonna kill you, yo.
Also, MGM releases the film War Games, The Dead Code, directed by and starring Matt Lanter, Maxim Roy, Amanda Walsh, Colm Feary. Direct to DVD. It's a sequel to the classic 83 film War Games.
Answering all those questions. Mm-hmm. 2009, Microsoft and Yahoo announce a merger of the two companies' web operations in a deal intended to gain market share over Google's search engine dominance.
How'd that work out for you?
That's why Bing rules the day.
Ooh.
Birthdays?
Genesis Rodriguez is 29 from Man on a Ledge, Tusk, Honey Lemon in Big Hero 6.
Allison Mack is 34. That's Chloe on Smallville, Amanda on Wilfred, and didn't invite me to her party.
Josh Radnor is 42 from Not Another Teen Movie, Ted on How I Met Your Mother.
Stephen Dorff is 43 from The Gate, Judgment Night, Blade, and Immortals.
Will Wheaton is 44, and I feel like some people got to meet him in Raleigh recently. There was a convention.
All kinds of people.
Secret of NIMH, Stand By Me, Toy Soldiers, and The Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Timothy Omenson is 47, was on Xena, but not Xena's. Psych, Kane in Supernatural, and King Richard in Gallivant.
Oh, Gallivant was a treat. Rodney Allen Rippey is 48, Young Bart in Blazing Saddles, Harlem Globetrotters, Popcorn Machine, and Dickie Roberts, former child star.
Richard Steven Horvitz is 66, it's Alpha 5 on Power Rangers, Billy and Dad in The Grim Adventures, and Invader Zim himself in Invader Zim.
Mike Starr is 66 from Goodfellas, Ed Wood, and Dumb and Dumber.
The incredible David Warner is 75 from The Omen, Time After Time, Time Bandits, Waxwork, which was about time, the second one, Tron, Star Trek 5 and 6, and Titanic.
No longer with us, born in 1892, William Powell, Thin Man series, My Man Godfrey, and Mr. Roberts.
1905, Clara Bow from Wings.
Also 1905, Thelma Todd, Horse Feathers, Monkey Business.
1924, Lloyd Bachner from Mazes and Monsters, Naked Gun 2.5, Bram Stoker's Legend of the Mummy.
And in 1924, Black Dahlia, American Waitress, and Murder Victim.
So sorry that her necklace broke.
Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a new Love Island, a rerun of The Big Bang Theory, The Neighborhood, and a rerun of full.
ABC has a 2-hour Bachelorette, and when the sun don't shine, they're on a new Grand Hotel.
Turn the lights on. NBC, American Ninja Warrior, followed by Dateline.
Fox, it's Beat Shazam, Senseless, and Sad. You think you can dance?
On the CW, are you better magicians than a sixth grader on a new Penn and Teller Fool Us?
Freeform has The Parent Trap. That would be the newer one. Because they just don't show the Alien Wheels one anymore.
Nope. On Bravo, Captain Sandy confronts Jack and Travis for failing to respond to an alarm on a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
FX, Sydney Sid Barrett grows up in a foreign land on a new Legion, which is so freaking trippy.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, City of New York versus Homer Simpson, Lisa's sack, and the sacks and the Cartridge Family.
I was about to say, that's a completely different show. FXM has Ride Along, a film that didn't need a sequel.
Nope. Nat Geo C, Nazi Kill Zone on a new Hitler's Last Stand.
BBC America has Escape Plan. The plan is to leave here and go, go somewhere else.
One sci-fi, The Fast and the Furious, and then Too Fast, Too Furious.
That's sci-fi with all the robots and whatnot. TBS got a new American Dad, and then Mooncake begins to feel lonely when Gary tries to reconnect with the estranged mother who abandoned him as a child on Final Space.
TNT, Remember the Titans. Don't you forget them.
Oh, USA has WWE Monday Night Raw, but tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman and her daughter move to a new town where she believes she has met the perfect man, but is unaware he's hiding some sinister secrets.
And
then her friends go missing, and she has to solve the mystery before it's too late. Jennifer Taylor, Al Sapienza, and Lori Fortier star in Bed with a Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. It's Princess Abby's birthday, and all the kingdom is celebrating. But the evil wizard Xander suggests a plot to Prince Stefan to use Abby's birthday to gain a final victory in their war against Abby's father, King Jack. Will Prince Chad get there in time to help, or is his cab going to get involved in wacky hijinks? Hashtag Chabby forever.
Once again, it's time for Bag O' Mail.
Hey, GRD, if I finally understand how in the world it is you do clues, I would have to say that this week Chad and Abby would be on Simon and Simon. And the reason I say that is because of the greatest moment in television history. I also do nothing but watch Adult Swim more than I should. And so, yes, I'm very familiar with Adam Scott's John Hamm killing show, The Greatest Moment in Television History, in which they recreate the opening to Simon and Simon. That, plus the fact that I checked and saw that Gerald McCraney was actually in Neverending Story. Did not know that. Kudos. Keep up the good work. Please don't tell me I'm finally starting to understand how you think. That is from Dennis.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry, Dennis, but you're on the right track, and that is absolutely it. Now, there were drops for everybody. Gerald McCraney was also in that A-Team movie, huh? But there were some Parker Stevenson clues. Yes. Yes, indeed. The two of them, fine, fantastic folks. So you were also in the running. You got another week. Where are they at this week? Let us know, because you want to get in for this, because that's the big giveaway for July, and then we got to talk about the week that we're missing. No, that's okay. It's fine. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send a voicemail to
510-GRD. Krill.
It's the same one from every year.
Good morning, survivors. My name is Todd Rage, and if you're listening to my voice on AM radio, then you are in the middle of a large-scale flesh-eater migration. This area is crawling with the walking dead. Now, they're slow, and they are stupid. They're relentless, too, and their only goal is to eat your flesh and turn you into one of them. You can only hope to put one down by destroying the brain. Now, the army, it's gone. Government's got no more handouts for you, and there ain't no more relocation stations. You are on your own. Don't trust nobody, and arm yourself. Stay tuned to this station for updates on the migration and where you can go to find safety. Join the resistance and download yourself the premiere episode HG World free from Podomatic.com or from www.goodmorningsurvivors.com beginning in July of 2009.
HG World.
Hi, this is Will Wheaton, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, so welcome back to it. It's time to sing. It's always time to sing.
this week's 10, last week's 12. The Farewell made $1.5 million. It's in more theaters. So it's made $3.86 million.
This week's 9, last week's 8. Annabelle comes home and just won't leave. No. Another $1.5 million after 5 weeks at 69.7.
I would go see No More Annabelle or The Last of Annabelle. No, okay. I still wouldn't. No, I still wouldn't. This week's 8, last week's 6, Stuber made another $1.7 million. It's made like $20 million in 3 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 7, Aladdin, another $2.7 million, 345 in 10 weeks on a 183 budget.
We'll see Aladdin 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yep. This week's 6, last week's 5, Yesterday made another $3 million. It's made like 63 in 5 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 4, Crawl. $4 million, so 4 all around for them. 31 million in 3 weeks on a 13.5 budget.
This week's 4, last week's 3, Toy Story 4, made $9.8 million. It's made like $396 million in 6 weeks.
This week's 3 was last week's 2, Spider-Man Far From Home, $12.2 million, 344 in 4 weeks on a 160 budget.
You know, they do call it the summer blockbuster for a reason, right? This week's 2 was new, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It made some decent money, $40 million, and it was a $90 million budget.
God, I can't wait to see that.
Carol the Cat recently went to go see The Cinemistress, so we will probably be getting a review.
There you go. That's fantastic. The number one movie in America is The Lion King. Another $75.5 million, $350 million in 2 weeks. Because yeah, people want to see how much they can get it right.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News.
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, of course, it is that time again because everything has to be remade. So, it's the time for The Conjuring and Aquaman director James Wan to quietly try to give a TV pilot remake for the 97 slasher film I Know What You Did Last Summer at Amazon.
Didn't we do this with Pretty Little Liars?
Jim Gillespie helmed the original film about four young friends, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, Freddie Prinze Jr., bound by a tragic accident, reunited when they find themselves being stalked by a hook-wielding maniac in their small seaside town.
Come on, man, give some credit to Ann H. and Johnny Galecki.
That's fair. Producer Neil H. Moritz, who produced the original, signed a new three-year overall deal with Sony Pictures for his original film banner and young adult horror series, and this being the first one of those projects.
How does this last more than one season?
Well, either it's all set, you know, in the next summer implied by the title, or we go hardcore with all the sequel sessions.
Oh, like the movies. I still know what you did two summers ago.
Or I continue to know what you did three summers prior. Sorry I got distracted there for a moment, but don't think I've forgotten what you did four summers ago. Or, hey, long time no talk, but just wanted to give you an update on if I've forgotten what you did that one summer 5 years back, and the answer is I haven't.
Nintendo is removing voice actor Chris Niosi from Fire Emblem Three Houses, following accusations of abuse from former friends and girlfriends.
Not many get the fabled triple eviction.
Yeah, he was previously replaced in the credits of mobile spin-off game Fire Emblem Heroes. In a statement, Nintendo confirmed that it will re-record his voiceovers and add the new voices in a future patch.
Wait. When are the auditions? This is my chance!
Well, Niosi is a well-known voice actor who's been in the TV shows and games such as OKKO and Octopath Traveler. He voices the character Byleth in Fire Emblem Three Houses and Fire Emblem Heroes. Over the last week, allegations arose accusing him of sexual harassment and abuse. He's admitted on his personal Tumblr account that he had treated people in his life horribly and had abused friends. His post contains detailed individual apologies to multiple people, going into some detail about his actions, or as he said, I'm not setting a very good example.
Last summer 6. We done been known.
They know what he did last summer. Nintendo said, after assessing the situation, we decided to re-record the character's voiceovers. No date was given for when to expect these patches or who the new voice actor for Fire Emblem Three Houses will be, so maybe it's still open. But if we can only hope that Nintendo, in its infinite wisdom, will turn to the one voice that can do this justice. Gilbert Gottfried.
I'm Byleth. I used to be a mercenary, but now I'm a professor, and I will help your cause however I can.
See? It's perfect.
Astronomers think they spotted an alien planet with three, count them, three suns on its horizon.
Ooh.
But that's not the most interesting thing about the strange new world sky.
It's plaid.
Scientists found the world, which they've dubbed LTT-1445AB.
We need a catchier title than that.
It's got data being gathered by NASA's Transitioning Exoplanet Survey Satellite, TESS. TESS is working on it.
Go ahead, TESS.
The planet orbits one of three stars, all of which are red dwarfs in the latter half of their lives, and the system is about 22.5
Smeg.
Light years away from Earth. If you're standing on the surface of that planet, there are three suns in the sky, but two of them are pretty far away and small-looking. Co-author Jennifer Winters, who wouldn't sound anything like that, and astronomer of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for
Astrophysics. Good Jennifer voice.
Said, yeah, absolutely. They're like two red, ominous eyes in the sky.
Oh, say it with me. Vampire the Masquerade, Geeps. The eyes of Vitel.
Oh, I'll snap you. What's particularly special about it is something that scientists can't yet, but may soon be able to characterize. Its atmosphere.
You can have, you know, clubs there, unlike the moon, where there is no atmosphere.
Because the stars in question are red dwarfs that are located reasonably close to Earth, and because the system is arranged so that the planet passes between stars and Earth, scientists may actually be able to get a glimpse of any gases surrounding the planet using telescopes based on Earth.
Planet farts.
They can't quite take advantage of the opportunity yet, but it's exactly the sort of thing that, you know, TESS was hired for. The instrument, which is halfway through its initial two-year survey of most of the sky, looks for planets with short years located around nearby bright stars. And so far, all they could really find was James Franco.
Well, you know, at the rate that we're destroying our planet, we really do need another home.
Right? Get us out of here.
Whew. And in a story I swear I did not make up, turns out NASA took some of the incredibly rare Apollo 11 lunar samples and fed them to roaches.
Well, that is weird.
Not yet, it isn't.
What?
After feeding the roaches, they dumped it in fish bowls and injected mice with it, among other things.
What kind of sci-fi original nonsense is this?
Scientists were pretty sure that there weren't any potentially dangerous germs living on the moon, but they couldn't be absolutely sure. And while the retrieval of moon rocks was an incredible gift to science, it could have been quite the curse on Earth if those rocks had turned out to be a risk to terrestrial life.
Then we could never build that amusement park.
No, right? So the part of the agency's preparations for the mission, NASA had to put together a program of tests. They tapped into its precious cache of 49 pounds, that's not a lot, 22 kilograms, of newly delivered lunar material. Scientists ground everything into dust, half of which they baked to sterilize, and the other half they left as it was. The prescription varied a little with animal type. Mice and quail got the lunar sample as an injection, insects had the sample mixed into their food, and aquatic animals had the moon dust added to the water they lived in. NASA watched the menagerie for a month in case anything seemed to suffer from lunar exposure. The German cockroaches that were fed moon dust, true to the insect's reputation, thrived despite the exotic diet. And all the animals actually did well, with one glaring exception. Whether in lunar water or not, many of the oysters died, which the scientists chalked up to having tested animals on, you know, during their mating season.
Thus proving moon dust is not Spanish fly.
Finally, NASA was confident that it was not harmful. After Apollo 14 in 1971, the agency stopped testing animals and ended the strict quarantine procedures for astronauts returning from the moon. It also stopped quarantine lab technicians working with lunar samples that might have come into contact with the moon rock.
And somewhere the Moonanites chortled.
NASA had good reason to eliminate the animal tests, of course. Planetary scientists were unhappy about the amount of material which they viewed as wasted on these experiments and the extent to which quarantine diminished the focus of planetary research, according to a NASA report. Just wait to see what they're going to do with Martian dust. It's going to be out of this world.
A change.org petition to change the date of Halloween has reached almost 80,000 signatures, which means it's going to be sent to the president.
The president of Halloween?
No, the scary president. Oh. The petition started last year by the Halloween Costume Association has more than 97,000 signatures. The trade association is designed to, quote, promote and build the celebration of Halloween in the United States, according to its website.
Don't they know some people already have their decorations up?
It's time for a safer, longer, stress-free celebration, the organization wrote in its petition. Let's move Halloween to the last Saturday of October.
Let's move Christmas to the last Saturday of December.
Most of the reasons listed in the Halloween Costume Association petition is for child safety. The petition cites a few issues like parents not accompanying children who are out trick-or-treating and kids not carrying flashlights.
Well, I guess I don't see how moving it to a Saturday changes that all that much.
According to Save Kids Worldwide, a nonprofit dedicated to the safety of families and children, twice as many kids are killed while walking on Halloween than any other day of the year.
So step up our efforts for the rest of the year.
Plus, there's the issue of Halloween parties. 51% of millennials say Halloween is their favorite holiday. Why cram it into two rushed evening workday hours when it deserves a full day, the HCA wrote.
What? That's why we all take off November 1st.
Damn right we do. Halloween originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, or Samhain if you prefer, where people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. And then the good religion people co-opted it like they do everything. In fact, Pope Gregory III in the 8th century designated November 1st as a day to honor all saints, and the evening before was known as All Hallows Eve, or Halloween, you know, according to the Pope's website. Now look, this is silly. The last Saturday in October is nice, but it is not the holiday. Just ask anyone what October 31st is, and they will smile and tell you. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and please Stop by the website, won't you please, there at geekradiodaily.com. Don't forget to send in your guests. Where are Chad and Abby at this week?
Where could they be?
Where in the world? Now, someone else already used that. So drop us a note, won't you please, at the podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CRILL.
Saturday. Wrong thing entirely.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
We don't belong here. We've violated.
We don't belong here.
Let me show you something.
Palestine terrorists carried out their threat and began shooting the first five of 106 Israeli schoolchildren held hostage for 18 days in a sea.
You haven't gone forward, Herbert. You've gone back.
We've just received word that Mayor Griffin Margolin of Columbus, Ohio, was shot.
We don't belong here. On the contrary,
CBS
Herbert.
CBS presents a special documentary.
Come. I belong here completely and utterly. I'm home. It's you who do not belong here. You, with your absurd notions of a perfect and harmonious society. It's drivel. The world has caught up with me and surpassed me. 90 years ago, I was a freak. Today, I'm an amateur. You go back, Herbert. The future isn't what you thought. It's what I am.